It's within me. Praise His name.
Lord, thank You so much for Your many blessings. Thank You for allowing us to be here today. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would have full reign in every heart and every mind. Lord, that You would guide this service. The words that You would have spoken would be spoken now. May we be hungry to hear, to feed upon Your Word this morning. May Your will be done now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so funny from week to week, our numbers, you know, it's like, 2 weeks ago, we're packed out. Last week, we're pretty full. And then this week, it's just funny how it is. But it is a holiday weekend. And so I'm so glad you all are here. I forgot to mention Tom had texted me this morning that he's been in a lot of pain. He had a echocardiogram or something this week. And he's been hurting ever since. And so he asked for prayer also. And so I'll pause for a second so Mitzi can edit that out. I'm thankful for Mitzi and keeping up with our camera and everything. I don't, like I said, I don't look at the views we have, but I've had family members and stuff from Michigan that have continued to thank me for us posting it because they watch it. I don't know if it's every week or from time to time, and so I'm thankful you do that for us, Mitzi. We're going to begin in Joshua chapter 3. This is Memorial Day, and these first few verses here have been on my mind all week. I've been thinking about Memorial Day and what it means. You know, it's a time to reflect and be thankful for all those that have paid with their lives for us to live in this country and have the freedoms that we have. We have many that even attend here that have either previously served or are currently serving in the military, and we're very thankful for each one of them. But how often do we stop and think, boy, I'm thankful for the Air Force. I'm thankful for the Army. I'm thankful for the Marines. I'm thankful for those men and women that are willing to enlist and serve and protect. I don't think we think about it often enough, and all those that have paid the ultimate price with their lives. And then you go even into that even more with Jesus and the people throughout history that have given their lives so that we can have this Bible today that have served and were persecuted and everything for us. And we take that for granted so often. But this has been on my mind all week in just remembrance. Joshua 3 verse 1, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. So he's telling them what's about to happen. And you need to consecrate yourself. You need to be ready for the ark to come by, and then you're to follow in and follow because God's going to lead you. Church, I believe with all my heart today that God still leads us. Sometimes I don't understand. Sometimes I don't even hear. Sometimes it's hard. I was just sharing with Bridget and the girls, you know, sometimes it's frustrating that I don't hear God and His leading, and I don't blame God, but I blame myself. Like, what's blocking me from knowing God's will and knowing what God's telling us to do? But here they actually had the ark gonna go before them. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. I think that's interesting that that God's telling Joshua, I'm going to exalt you. People are going to know that I'm you hear my voice. Do you guys know people like that today? It's just when you're around them, you just like, man, they have an anointing on their life. There's something about that person that you just know God's with them. God's directing them. God's guiding them. I got to admit, sometimes I'm envious of that. Sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could always be like in that moment where I know beyond a shadow of a doubt God's there with me. I know He is, but to live it out and to see what we're about to see here and to have that type of faith, let's jump on down to verse 14. It says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. A town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the waters flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. What amazes me is that it was at flood stage. You know, God could have chose any moment to lead them. Could have done it when there's a drought. Could have done any moment, but yet He chose when it was at flood stage. Why? So they have to trust God. Have you guys ever seen a river flooding? I know some of you have experienced it yourself. And if I see a river flowing out of its banks and water going as fast as it can, my inclination is to not step into it. It's not. I don't want to get in that water. I could be swept away. I was talking to a guy this last week about fishing the Arkansas River, and I was telling him I don't think I've ever been on the Arkansas River, and I don't think I ever want to be on the Arkansas River. There's no desire in me to go out on a river that if my engine fails on the boat or whatever, I can be swept down current. There's nothing in me that desires that. I know a young man that used to go out there all the time, and it was like every other time he went, he was breaking something on his boat because he'd hit debris floating and everything. And it's like, I have no desire to step off into a flood stage river. So that seems common sense. I wouldn't do that. But when we learn to trust God, He does the impossible. He does the things that we don't understand. He, in the middle of a flood, in the middle of a storm of your life, whatever the case might be, and He might say, step forward, and you're like, but God, that doesn't make sense. I believe that God does that sometimes to just show how wonderful and how awesome He is. In the middle of the storm, when the disciples, were all panicking and crying out, and what do? Jesus is asleep, and they wake Jesus up, and what? He speaks to the storm, and all at once the storm is calm. Has there been a time in your life that it seems like the floodwaters were raging, and God said, step out, and you did, and you saw the miracle? You know, part of Memorial Day is remembering the sacrifices that was made. Remembering all those soldiers and all those people that have died for our freedom. And I believe it's also a time for us to reflect and look back at the miracles that God's done in our own lives. And the times that it seemed like there was absolutely no hope, but God stepped in God stepped in to take care of the situation. God stepped in to bring deliverance. Chapter 4, verse 1, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." It's something physical that you can look back on and go, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what He did," to tell people. Is there things like that in your life? You know, I like rocks. And sometimes I'm mad at myself because we've been to different places and different trips and different things, and I'll usually grab rocks and bring them home to remember. But the bad thing is sometimes some of the rocks look like other rocks, and over time you forget which rocks from which strip, and I don't remember why I got that rock, and I wish I'd have took a paint pen and wrote on there, "This is from what year and what we did." Now, there is some that I do remember that are very unique. When we went down and dug for crystals at Hot Springs, you know, we got these crystals that we dug up, and I've got them in our flower beds and stuff. And I always remember that. My kids were real little, and we went down there and dug up crystals. And there's some other stones from four-wheeling trips and different things that we did that I remember, but a lot of them I don't remember. So that's all physical things to remind. Some of you have old photo albums. You ever get out your old photo albums and you're looking at pictures, and then all at once you look and go, "Oh, I forgot about that. And I remember that Thanksgiving. I remember that birthday party. I remember that picnic," or whatever it is, and you remember it, and it cites something inside of you, and hopefully a good and happy moment. But how many times do we do that with the things of the Lord so that our children and our children's children will look back and go, "Wow, look what the Lord has done." Do you guys know at the end of the hallway here that we have a thing up on the wall there of the goals of this church? In the year that we prayed and fasted and God gave us these goals? And do you know God has answered every one of those except for one, and it's kind of answered, but it's kind of not. Like, almost everything that we fasted and prayed for, God has done. Some of you may not know, we had a church bus. It was nice. I don't remember what we paid for it. 50, 60, 70,000. And it just sat out there ruining. And we kept trying to sell it and trying to sell it. We just wanted out from under it. Couldn't sell it. And a dealership from Ozark called us and said, "There's a church up in northern Arkansas looking for a bus." And they called our dealership. And we remembered you guys talking about having this bus for sale. This was back before, you know, you had all the internet and you just post stuff and sell it. Gave that church our number. We was able to sell that just to get out from under it. You say, big deal. When you're living in it and you don't have the money to pay for it, it was a big deal. It was an answered prayer. A few years later, I thought the church was massive debt. Massive debt. We could barely even keep the electric on. It was terrible. And I'd felt like God was going to pay off this church. The church didn't pay me. God provided for me with FedEx. And I thought, well, we're not paying a pastor. And here's what we're going to do. And we're going to get this church paid for this way. And the time elapsed that I thought felt like that God was going to pay off the church. and we'd paid down maybe 10,000 of the debt. And I was like, Lord, I guess I just didn't hear you. And then a man that I didn't hardly even know came to this church. Long story short, wrote a check and said, the Lord told me to do this. And just like that, the church was paid off. 120-something thousand. And it was just paid off. It's amazing to me where I thought I got this all worked out of how it's going to work and get the church paid off. But God's got His own way of doing stuff so that He gets the glory, so that God gets the glory. Not me, not a man, not anybody else. God gets the glory then when the impossible is done. You guys might say, the big deal. It was a big deal. It was a huge deal. Do you look back on your life and remember those miracles that God did? Maybe you say, well, God's never paid off my house. God's never helped me sell a car. God hadn't done this for me. But there's miracles every day that God is seeing us through, that God is helping us through. But how often do we stop and we put these things up in our life to go, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Do we reflect on it enough and talk about it enough and share enough so that people will know? Because when you stop sharing, when you stop saying, things get forgot. And people don't appreciate it anymore. Just like all these soldiers that have died for our country, how often do you think about them and their families and their children and their husbands and wives and parents that they left behind that they never got to come home? How often do you stop and you reflect and you say, God, I remember that time that I was praying and I felt Your presence. I remember that time that I was almost in that car accident, but God, somehow You protected me. God, I remember that time. And we look back and we look back and we look back and we remember all that God has done. Psalms 126:3 says, the Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. We need to reflect to build our faith. We need to reflect so that we don't forget God's kindness and how great God is and remember all that He's done. Psalms 103:2 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. See, when time passes, we forget. I didn't come to church here when there was an old church building. The old church was down, I think, where the dumpster used to be. There's a few of y'all that was here and was part of building this church. And I've heard stories of the guys coming up on the weekends and working and building. Do we stop and say, wow, God, thank You for those men that were willing to sacrifice their Saturdays and come and build and work and in their spare time come up here. And it sure is a nice building and we sure do have comfortable pews and it sure is nice to have air conditioning and we don't even think about that stuff. We're a spoiled generation and we just continue to be more and more spoiled. When I was thinking about all this and I was thinking, I'm thankful for bridges. You guys might say, what? I'm thankful for the highways. I'm thankful for that little stretch of new interstate that they opened. And I hear that in the next 8 years is going to be connected. So we're going to even have more interstate that there's already got the plans in progress. I hope that's true. I don't know if that's true or not. You guys say, that's a silly thing to be thankful for. You live on a dirt road with big potholes and ruts, and then you drive down a nice highway, you're thankful. But we take everything for granted, and I feel like sometimes we even take God for granted in our life. There was that moment that He saved us, delivered us, but we forget. We forget how bad we were. And how awesome God is and the love and compassion that He has to save a sinner like me and like you. We forget the little miracles throughout life that He does every day for us. Friday, Tim sent some verses and stuff, and he didn't even know, and I didn't even know, but within 15 minutes of him sending those verses, I needed them. And I had to pray through some stuff. I thank Tim for his obedience, but I thank God even more for laying it on Tim's heart to do that, because I needed those verses. You say, that's just a little thing. Those little things are what we hear and what we remember that God is there. So I heard this story, because it just made me think about how we forget all God has done. I heard this story about 3 or 4 months ago. I don't know how long ago this story happened, but there was a place in overseas, and they had this like park area where people would kayak and canoe, and people would walk their dogs and everything. And there was a family, a husband, wife, and a child that overturned out in the, and the way I understood it, it was like a stream or a creek or river or something. They overturned. And there was a man walking his dog, and he could see that they were beginning to struggle. So he lets go of his dog leash, and he jumps in the water to go help save them. And finally, others see what's going on and begin to try and help too. The family gets up on the bank and is saved, but the initial man that jumped in to save them, I guess one of them had kind of pushed him under or whatever, and he took on too much water, and they finally got him up to the bank and was trying to do life-saving things on him, but he didn't make it. And the husband and wife and child that man jumped in to save got in their car and was just driving off. And someone stopped him and said, wait a minute. Don't you even care? The man that just saved your life died? Don't you even care? And the man said, what is that to us? And drove away. True story. How many of us, though, are that way with Jesus? He died on that cross. He died on that cross for our sins. He came, and He didn't have to, and He was willing to. And He died on that cross for our sins. But how many of us just push Him aside and say, what is that to us? We don't talk about Him. We don't live for Him. We don't tell our children about Him. We don't tell our co-workers about Him. We don't live our lives in reflection of all that He's done for us. And by our life, we say, what is that to us, what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Do we remember? I love the way that's worded, that He made Him who was no sin to be sin for us. And that's what everybody wants, right? We want the sacrifice of Jesus. We want our sins washed away. That's what I want. I want my sins washed away. But I love how it says, and so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. See, it's great to say, oh yeah, wash away my sins, Jesus. But then He's saying, but then you're to become the righteousness of God because you remember all that I've done. And then you live that out in your life. Do we remember? In John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. God did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He gave His only begotten Son for you and for me. How many of us even think about that daily and remember what Jesus did for us? are we reminded of all that He's done. Galatians 1, 4 through 5 says, "Who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." He gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from this evil age. Psalms 103, 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Have we forgot? I asked Crystal when I was at this part at home, I said, "What's something that you remember that God's done?" And I want you guys to think, what's something you remember? And some things just started clicking in my mind. Last September, I fell and got hurt at work, and my arm was looked crooked. I texted y'all, "Please pray for me, I'm hurt." By the time we got to the doctor's office, that crookedness wasn't there no more. My arm wasn't broke. You guys might say, "Well, it was never broke to begin with." I asked y'all to pray for me, and my arm wasn't broke, and it felt broke. It was one of the worst pains I've ever had. Praise God. You're all here today. You've lived through COVID. Many of you have been sick with COVID. Praise God, you're still alive. Look at how many people we've lost. Do we remember? Do we thank God every day? All these things were going through my mind. The church and being paid off, and I remember the night I knelt beside my bed in my bedroom and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And He heard my prayers. That's a miracle. The God of the universe heard my prayers. Do we remember? Do we remember all that God's done? And some of you, maybe you're coming up to that river right now. Maybe you're in the middle of the river right now. Maybe you're in the middle of the storm. And you say, "Pete, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand it either. I don't understand it either, but I know that I know that I know that God is an amazing God. And that He loves you very much. I don't understand that school shooting this last week. I don't understand that family that was killed in the accident 2 weeks ago and the motorcycle drivers that was wiped out. I know there's evil in this world, and I know that we have an enemy and that his sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy you and me. And so that's why I believe that sometimes we have to hold on with everything that's in us to who we know God is, to who we know that Jesus is, and remember to build our faith, to build our strength, and to not forget all that He's done for you and for me." John 10, 17 and 18. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." I wanted to read that because He says, "No one takes it from me. I willingly lay down my life in accordance with the Father's will." And you know, that's one of the most amazing things I think about America, is that most all of our soldiers are willing. They sign up to go and lay down their lives for you and for me and for generations that they might not ever know or meet. And Jesus was willing to lay down His life. No one could take it from Him. He was unique in that way. No one could take it from Him. Do we remember? Last verse here, Hebrews 6:10 says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them." See, another amazing thing about our God is He's going to remember all that you're doing. And someday when you stand before Him, you'll be rewarded. You think no one notices right now. No one tells you thank you. No one notices, you know, when you've come up here on your own, when you practice, when you prayed for them. No one may notice. God knows. God knows what you're doing, when you're doing it. God knows the motives of your heart too. If you're doing it out of a pure heart or if you're doing it for selfish reason, God knows. But see, the thing is that God's going to remember all that we've done for Him also. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. I heard something a few weeks ago, and I tried to go back and find it, but I couldn't find it. And I really wanted to listen to the sermon again because it was a good sermon, and I was busy and didn't get to listen to most of it. But one of the things that they said, they said that we should physically write down what we're thankful for. And said that there's statistics and everything that show that when you physically write down even 3, 4, 5 things of what you're thankful for, that it improves your health. And they went through all these different things that it improves in your body and your mind and your health. And so I want to challenge you guys. Many of you don't even use pen and paper anymore. Maybe in the notes of your phone. To sometime today, or sometime this week, to just write down 1, 2, 3 things to thank God for. Y'all, the times during the week that I get up and got to go to work, and I'm like, oh, and I've told y'all this, I don't want to get out of bed. And I have to real quick recalibrate my mind. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me opportunity to maybe serve you in some small way today. Lord, help me to hear your voice today. I got to do it to get out of bed, to go to work. I challenge you to maybe look back on your life and take a moment to just write down some things in your phone notes on a piece of paper of all that God's done for you and how thankful you are. And don't just do it once this week and then forget about it. I challenge you to maybe try and make it a routine. Maybe every Saturday morning or Sunday morning before church. Maybe every day before you get up. And you might say, I'll run out of things to be thankful of. I'm thankful for the bridges. Thankful for the roads. I'm thankful for the air conditioning. I'm thankful that I can go to a grocery store and buy food. And I don't have to go out and catch it or kill it to eat or plant it. Are you thankful for all that God's done for you, most importantly? Let's stand. Father, as this Memorial Day is upon us, Lord, may we begin to set up some rocks in our lives, Lord, the rocks to remember all that you've done so that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and generations to come might remember how awesome you are and all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. If there's any in here this morning that don't feel very thankful and they're struggling this morning, Father, I pray that they would look back throughout the Word in the times that people have been in dire situations and the time that you've delivered them. Father, may their faith grow this morning. May their faith build this morning. And may all of us begin to have that attitude, Lord, of being thankful and remembering all the benefits, all the things that you've done for us, and how you died on that cross willingly, that you didn't come to condemn, but that you came to set us free. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Hebrews 11 talks about by faith and how without faith it is impossible to please God. And there's a list of Noah, of Abraham, and it just goes throughout of all the people and the faith that they had and how God delivered them, God took care of them. God seen them through Rahab the prostitute, and you go all throughout Hebrews 11. But you know, many times people don't get to the end where it says, and trying to read as fast as I can, Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert and the mountains and in the caves and in the holes and in the ground. See, I share with you the stories of God's victory. But there's many stories of where the people lost their lives also. But that doesn't change how great God is. We've seen books, we've seen movies where people have died and come back, and I don't know all the stories and everything. But my grandmother's sister died in the hospital, and they revived her. I've shared this before, but she said, "What are you doing? Why did you bring me back?" She said, "Where I was, it was the most beautiful place I ever seen." And she began to describe it and the people that she saw there. And she said, "Do not bring me back." And I think later on that day, she died. I think sometimes we fight so hard to hold on to this life, and we forget how wonderful it's going to be when we are no longer breathing here and step into the next life. When you know that you know Jesus Christ and that He died for you, willingly died for you, and that He washed away those sins that all of us have been guilty of. What a mighty God we serve. If life hasn't brought you all the victories that you thought it should, don't give up hope. This isn't our home. There's something far better for each and every one of us. Remember how awesome God is and what a mighty God we serve. Y'all have a wonderful week. Men's meeting this Wednesday night. Next Sunday, normal morning service. Sunday evening, elders meeting, fellowship, ice cream, desserts. Bring whatever you want. If you want to bring chips and dip, if you want to bring ice cream, if you want to bring desserts, a veggie tray, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get a cookie cake and then just be a time of celebration. Bring your games or whatever, and we'll have a good time together. So y'all have a blessed week.